You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
Well, take out your message notes, and we're going to jump into the Word this morning. I'm excited about what we have to talk about. This is part two of our series on prayer, and usually my custom is to start a new year off with a series that helps us to go a little bit deeper spiritually and to press into the Lord just a little bit more than maybe we did the year before. And I just believe God is going to do some great things in our lives in 2020. I don't know about you, but I just have a sense in my spirit that 2020 is going to be an awesome year, that we're going to see the Lord do some things that we've never seen Him do before. Do you believe that today? You know, He's looking. The Scripture says that the Lord scans the whole earth, my paraphrasation, looking for those He can be good to. And really what He's looking for is people that will dare to believe, dare to receive what He wants to do. So you need to start out. I know it's already the 12th of the month, but you can start out, maybe a couple weeks into it, but say, God, I just thank You that this is my year. This is the year I'm going to see Your goodness like never before. Amen? Amen. Can you tell I'm ready to preach just a little bit? Amen. But anyway, this is our series on prayer for this year. So let's get into it. Let's look at a couple of verses that we're kind of making as our foundation. And we're going to begin with Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And I'm going to read it from the Good News Bible this week. And because I love what it says. And it says this: Then Jesus told His disciples a parable. Now, we took time to study the parable last week, but we won't do that this week. But it says He told His disciples a parable to teach them that they should pray whenever they feel like it. They should pray when times are good. And what did He say? That they should always pray and never become discouraged. And I think that it's significant that Jesus would tell us that, because what that tells me is that there is an opportunity in your prayer life to become discouraged and to get to the place where, you know, you're wondering, is God really answering or hearing your prayers? You know, are my prayers going any further than the ceiling? And so a lot of times we become discouraged when we've prayed and we've sought God and we've asked Him to do some things, and maybe, we haven't seen anything change yet. And, we haven't seen the circumstances beginning to change in our favor. Well, Jesus said, don't stop praying. Keep on praying. Don't get discouraged, and keep standing in faith and believing God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul wrote this in verses 16 and 18. Three little short verses that he put at the end. Of course, he didn't write the epistle in chapter and verse, but in the contemporary English version, he said this: always be joyful. And verse 17 says this: and never stop praying. Never stop praying. So Jesus said we should always pray. Paul said we should always pray and never stop. And of course, they were saying all these things inspired by the Holy Spirit. Paul goes on to say in verse 18, whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. And I love this sentence at the end. He says, this is what God wants you to do. God wants us to continue to pray. That means that we pray when we don't feel like it. That means we pray when times are good. That means we pray when times are bad. That means we pray when times are kind of so-so. And so we keep on praying. And so this is why we're talking about prayer at the beginning of the year. Now, we said last week that there's three main reasons. There's probably others, but three main reasons that we grow discouraged and we stop praying. And just as a point of review, look at this. Why don't we pray more, or why do we stop praying? The first reason is that we grow complacent. We talked about that last week. Growing complacent means that you get accustomed with the status quo. You just kind of are coasting through life. And the dictionary defines complacency as that you're pressing on, you're continuing on, not aware of impending danger or possibly that something could happen. And so what God is telling us is don't grow complacent. In other words, stay vigilant in our prayer life. The second reason that we stop praying or we don't pray more than we do is because of just plain unbelief. We really don't believe that our prayers are fruitful, that we don't really believe that God hears and answers prayer. Let me just say this. God is a God that answers prayer. Let me try. Maybe my mic wasn't as loud as I wanted it to be. Let me say that one more time. God is still a God that answers prayer today. He's still the same. And so we've got to believe that God hears our prayers. The last thing, and we've already hit on this, is just straight discouragement. We've become discouraged for whatever the reason. And so we need to learn to press through that discouragement. And we'll talk about some things later on in this series on how to overcome that. But what I want you to see is that sometimes you just have to press through that. You know, a lot of times we just don't feel like it. We have times where we, you know, just our feelings aren't in it. You can't be moved by what you feel. You've got to press into it anyway and keep doing it anyway. How many of you feel like going to work every day? Put your hands down. You're lying. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody put their hands up. No, but you know, there are mornings that we wake up and we don't feel like going to work. But how many of you like to eat? So we press in and we go to work anyway, right? Because we like to get that check. Come on now. So sometimes you have to press through some things that you don't feel like doing so you can see the results of it anyway. All right, so I think one of the main reasons talking about getting discouraged in prayer is that a lot of times we just, it's not that we have bad hearts or anything like that. I think a lot of times it's just because we don't understand prayer. Maybe we don't know a whole lot about prayer. And so because we don't know how prayer works, we don't know how to pray, we become discouraged in that. And so I want to take some time over the balance of today and then maybe the next couple of weeks, and I want to talk to you about the different kinds of prayer that are described and taught to us in the Bible. That there are many types of prayer. There are approximately 7 or 8, depending on how you divide them up, different types of prayer. And what you need to understand is that there are different principles that apply to each type of prayer. But here's the main thing that you need to start out with, and if you're writing on your notes, take this down, and that is this. We have to first believe that we serve a God that answers prayer. He's not looking to get out of answering your prayers. In other words, He's looking for ways to get into your life to answer your prayers, not looking for ways to get out of your life so He doesn't have to answer your prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. And so if we serve a God that wants to answer our prayers, then we need to find out what is the appropriate way for whatever situation that we need to pray. Now, there are, as I said, many types of prayer, and there are different principles that apply to each types of prayer. Let me show you a verse from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. In the New International Version, Paul wrote this. He said, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions," look at this, "with all kinds of prayers and requests." What we've done is we've kind of thought prayer was prayer. And so we've just kind of put it all together, thought the same principles applied to all kinds of prayer, and we didn't understand this. He goes on to say, "With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people." So we need to understand that there are different kinds of praying. There are different purposes behind different types of prayers. And let me just hit on a couple. There is what we call the prayer of dedication, or what some might refer to as the prayer of consecration. This is a prayer where you are committing yourself to do the will of God. You're committing yourself that even though you might not know what the will of God is at the moment, you're committing yourself to it. Let me show you an example that Jesus prayed the prayer of consecration in Luke chapter 22, verses 41 and 42. We find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the last night before He is to be crucified the next day. And He took some of His disciples and He went into the garden. And it says, "When He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, He knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is Your will, Pay attention to that phrase. Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And so Jesus prayed, if there's any way possible for us to work this another way, Father, work that out. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Now, here's the situation. What a lot of people have done, and they've meant well, but it's a mistake nonetheless, because we didn't understand, they have taken every kind of prayer and put that phrase at the end of it. So we'll pray for healing for someone, and we'll say something like this, God, if it's your will, heal my grandma, or heal so-and-so, or whatever the case is. And that is not the type of prayer that you put, if it is your will. Because God makes clear some things in the Word of God as to what His will is. And we'll talk about that in just a second. So Jesus, at the end of this prayer, said, Father, if it is your will, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. But we also see over in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus said, whatever things you desire or ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Nowhere does He say in that prayer, add on to there, if it is your will. In other words, Jesus' intention in this type of prayer was that we should go into it knowing what the will of God is, and that we can pray and we can believe that we receive the answer. And according to what Jesus said, we will receive the answer. And so again, what we've done is we've taken different types of prayer. We've just kind of thrown it all together. Somebody said, well, prayer is prayer. Well, you know, like I heard one minister say, yeah, sports are sports, but you don't play them all by the same rules. You know, how many of you are going to watch some football today? Okay. How many of you are mad because your team lost yesterday, all right? Okay. The altar will be open after service so you can come down and mourn before the Lord. But no, what if you know, they tried to play those football games today by basketball rules? It would be an absolute mess. Why? Because it's not designed to be played that way. And so what we've done in the same sense is we've taken prayer, we've just thought the same rules applied to every kind of prayer, same principles. And then we just said prayer is prayer, and it's not. And I think because of that, not understanding that is a failure in our prayers, that we have not prayed the proper way according to the Word of God so that God can respond to our prayers. Now, here's something you need to understand. God wants to answer our prayers. However, listen to me carefully. God is not going to bend to accommodate us. We're going to need to bend to accommodate Him. I thought I'd get a little better amen than that. Because see, what we have a tendency to do is we want God to change for us. And what God is saying is, no, I'm the same. I always have been the same. If there's going to be any changing that takes place, it's going to be you and me. All right? Turn to somebody and say, you need to change. Some of you said it to your spouse just a little bit more intense than I meant for you to, but God isn't going to change for anybody. And so what we need to understand is if we're going to receive God's results, we have to do it God's way. And so the best thing for us is to figure out and to learn what is God's way of doing things. All right. So let's get into this. I want to start with one type of prayer and just to show you some little more in depth to it. And that is what we call the prayer that believes the prayer of faith, praying in faith. All right, everybody say praying in faith.
Praying in faith.
Okay. When we pray in faith, now all prayers are by faith. Yeah, I want you to understand that. But there is a specific type of prayer that we pray believing God to move and to change something in our lives. So let's look at this. Here's the first thing that I want you to see, and I want you to write this down. Prayer by itself does not change things. We need to adjust our thinking a little bit. Anybody ever heard the phrase, prayer changes things? No, it doesn't. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to nitpick, but what we've done is we've kind of put prayer and said, well, prayer changes things. And so, and again, I'm not being critical of this. I understand that we mean well, But listen, just because you get all 500 of your friends on Facebook praying for a situation doesn't mean that you're going to get the answer. Because it's not mass praying that gets the job done. Because 250 out of that 500 might be way out in left field with their prayers. They're praying something way out there, and it's different than what you're even praying about. So prayer, just sit, you know, there's an old saying that we used to say in church, you know, we just need to get together and bombard heaven. You know, meaning that if the more of us that get together and we're just praying and it's like we're pounding on the doors of heaven, and maybe if we pound loud enough and long enough and hard enough, God will open the door and say, you know what, I'll answer their prayers this time. And that's not the way it works at all. The Bible says God is attentive. In the Psalms, it says God is attentive to the cry of the righteous. And so He's listening all the time. You know, there's another phrase that has become kind of churchy and cliche-ic, and I really can't stand it. And that is when, you know, there are certain ministers that will stand up at certain points and they'll say, well, you know, we're under an open heaven right now. Meaning, implying that there are times when heaven's closed up. Okay. No, that's just stuff we come up with, you know, gimmickry to kind of get people inspired and get them excited and all of this. You want me to tell you how to get an open heaven? Anybody want to know how to get an open heaven? Okay, see me after church. You six people who raised your hands, see me after church. Now, how many of you want to know how to get an open heaven? Here's how you get an open heaven. Father, in Jesus' name, heaven is open to you. That's what the Scripture says. All right, so here's the next thing that I want you to see. Write this down, please. It's not prayer by itself that changes things. It's the God who hears. It's the God who hears and answers prayer is the one who changes things when believing prayer is made. God is the one that changes things. It's not our prayers by themselves. It's God that changes things. Now, I'm not minimizing prayer, but I want you to understand that it's believing prayer, prayed in line with the Word of God, that invites God to respond to it so that your circumstances can change. But it's the God who hears. And I want to emphasize that word, hears. Everybody say, hears. It's the God who hears your prayer that changes things in our lives. Now, prayer, as we said last week, is the invitation. It's the access that we give God into our lives, asking, inviting Him to move on our behalf. And so when we pray, we're opening the door and we're saying, God, I need You to move in my life. I need You to change me. I need You to meet this need. I need You to do whatever the request is. That is God's invitation. Now, we also said this last week, that God is the absolute perfect gentleman. He will not just bust into your life and let His will come to pass. You have to allow it. You have to ask Him to move in your life. And again, I don't want to harp on this, but you know, the old phrase, and we said this last week, you know, that we have a tendency to lean on this just a little bit too much, and that is, well, you know, God is in control. Okay? I want to say this again. God is in control of what you give Him control of. He is not just blatantly causing His will, plan, and purpose to come to pass in the earth. Can I say this to you? If He is in control, He has sure made a mess of everything. Have you looked at the news lately? I mean, you got Australia about to burn up. You got crazy stuff going on in the Middle East. You got kids dying in Africa. If God is in control and is responsible for all of that, He's got it really jacked up. I'm just being honest. Well, the truth of the matter is, He doesn't have it all under control. All right? Now, I don't have time to get back all into that again, but just trust me, the Word of God does not teach that. He is in control of what you surrender to Him. All right? Now, go with me to a verse or a couple of verses in John chapter 11. Now, I want to show you something that Jesus emphasized. Now, I know you guys are great. You listen to me and you take what I say, okay? And that's important. But do me a favor. Take what Jesus says as most important. All right? He's the one that really counts. And so let's look at what Jesus said and what he placed an emphasis on. Now, let me lay a little groundwork. We're rolling up on the tomb of Lazarus. Anybody remember the story of Lazarus where he was a friend of Jesus? His sisters, Mary and Martha, all three of them were very close to Jesus, and that he knew them all very well. And we know from the backstory that Lazarus got sick. Jesus was away in another city preaching. He heard that Lazarus had passed away. He had died. Jesus still delayed his trip going to minister to him. And so here we have, and it's the fourth day that Lazarus has been in the tomb. And so Jesus rolls up on the scene. Now he has all this conversation with Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, and kind of goes back and forth with them. But Jesus actually steps up to the tomb and he says something that is very significant. Let's look at these verses. He tells them, roll away the stone. And so in verse 41, it says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, now notice this. Notice he did not say, Father, I thank you that you've given me Holy Ghost, Superman, super anointing power so that I can raise this guy from the dead. He did not say that. Notice he did not say, Lord, I thank you that we're all in agreement here and I put this on Facebook so everybody could be praying for me today and we're going to pull this out. Hallelujah. No, he didn't say that at all. Notice what he said. He said, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Now, apparently, Jesus had already prayed about this situation. Now, notice what he was most emphasizing was the fact that God heard his prayers. He also said, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who were standing by, I said this, and he's referring to a comment when he had to turn to his disciples and say, Lazarus is dead. You can read all about that later, but it says that they may believe that you sent me. But the emphasis that I'm wanting to place on these two verses is Jesus said this publicly, and he emphasized, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. So apparently, God hearing you is paramount to you receiving from God. All right? Are you tracking with me? Okay. Now, write this down, please. It's not the act of praying that grants the answers to your requests. It's a hearing Father. You still need to pray, but it's not the act of praying that grants the answers to your requests. It is a hearing Father. Now, I'm going to make a couple of statements to you. Listen to this. No praying does any good except if that prayer is heard. Okay? Apart from a hearing God, prayer is fruitless and accomplishes nothing. Can I give you, and I'm not being critical when I say this, but let me give you a couple of examples. Ask the Muslims. They pray 5 times a day, religiously. No matter where they are, what they're doing. I remember I was going over to eat dinner the other day at South Park at Maggiano's. I got out of the parking deck, parked my car, got out of my car, was walking towards the restaurant, and I looked over in the corner, and there was a Muslim family had put their prayer little carpets down in the parking deck, had knelt towards Mecca, and were praying. If it was the act of praying that got the job done, surely somebody that prays 5 times a day without fail would get answers to their prayers. It doesn't. Think about the Buddhists. The Buddhists, I mean, you ever seen a Buddhist or a Hindu monk? I mean, they are just in it to win it. They're 100%. They're praying all the time. You hear them chanting and doing all this type of thing. If it was the act of prayer that got the job done, then surely they would get some answers to their prayers. But they don't. They're still waiting on God to move. Matter of fact, the one they're praying to is lying in a grave somewhere. He can't hear their prayers. But see, what I'm wanting you to see is it's a heavenly Father who loves you, who cares about you, who is intimately interested in your life, that if you can make the prayer connection to where He hears your prayer, then you will have the answer. Now, I've got to put a little equation up on the screen for you, and that is this. Being heard by God equals having the answer. So the goal ought not be seeing how many prayers we can pray, but seeing and making sure that the prayers that we do pray are heard. I haven't lost you, have I? Okay. So it's very important. Matter of fact, it's of utmost importance that we make sure that God in heaven hears our prayers. All right? Say this with me. It is very important that I pray in a way that allows God to hear my prayers. Because if He hears my prayers, then I have the answer that I've prayed for. Okay. All right. We need to establish that. So again, it's not the act of praying. Because you remember Jesus had a discourse with the religious leaders of the day, and we won't look at it, but just keep this in the back of your mind. He said something to them. He said, you guys think that you're really deep and spiritual because you do a lot of stuff repetitively. You just go over the same prayers all the time. You just do the same things all the time. And you're really not getting any fruit out of what you're talking about. Matter of fact, he went on to tell them, you guys are kind of like dead men's bones in a grave. You're kind of like whitewashed tombs. That's deep right there. All right, that's a drop the mic. You can walk away at that statement, all right? Now, what I want to do is I want to give you a heavenly guarantee. Anybody interested in getting a heavenly guarantee? Yeah. A guarantee from the Heavenly Father. So here's what we're after. We're after learning how to pray prayers that are heard by our Heavenly Father. Now, let me say this, too, before I go any further. That would imply that there are prayers that God doesn't hear. You know, the Lord and I had a conversation one time about prayers that people pray. Even, you know, prayers that I have prayed that have been in doubt and unbelief, that weren't in line with the Word of God. And I asked God, what do you do with all those prayers? He said, what prayers? And I said, you know, the ones that aren't prayed in line with the Word of God, that are full of doubt and unbelief. He said, what prayers are those? No, God, you're not listening. See, I'm talking about the ones that people pray out of ignorance, that they don't know what the Word of God says, and they just pray. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't hear them. So what we've got to do is we've got to pray prayers that we know God hears. Now again, I'm not saying God is in heaven trying to block your prayers. God is in heaven waiting for you to pray properly so that He can respond to your prayers. All right, here we go. Here's God's guarantee. Let's look over at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Now, some of you may have noticed that we took out a row of chairs up here in the front. There are two purposes behind doing that. It was out of mercy and grace for these people in the front. I had to get them out of spitting range. And, you know, because it was to the point where they were showing up in rain suits and ponchos and all this kind of stuff. And also because, you know, there might have been or might be opportunities when I want to get down there and get in y'all's faces a little bit. All right, so we may do that. So I'm just telling you. All right, here we go. 1 John chapter 5, look at verses 14 and 15. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Classic. It says this, excuse me. And this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. Confidence. Say it again, please. Confidence. So this is the confidence. And then he parenthetically says, the assurance, the privilege of boldness. You ever notice that when you're confident about something, you're a little bolder? You got a little something in your step, you know, when you're confident. So it says, and this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness, which we have in Him. We are sure that if we ask anything, we make any request according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to and hears us. All right? So let's stop right there and let's break this down. So if I want to pray prayers that God hears and listens to, then based on what the Apostle John wrote here, that I have to pray prayers that are in line and in agreement with His will. Do you read that the same way? Okay. So it says, and this is the confidence. So I can have confidence to know that if I pray in line with the will of God, I can be assured, I can be bold, I can be confident knowing that the Heavenly Father has heard my prayer. Now, you remember the equation I gave you? A prayer that's heard by God is a prayer that's answered by God. Okay? Are you still tracking with me? All right, so look at verse 15. And if since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, now how do we get Him to hear? Because I prayed in line with the will. We also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the request made of Him. So what the Apostle John is telling us is that if we will learn to pray according to the will of God, pray in line with the will of God, then God will hear every prayer. And if He hears every prayer, then we can have assurance and confidence to know that I have the answer that I have asked of God. I'm going to say it to you because I want to drive this home. The thing that we're after is praying prayers that God hears. Because a prayer that God hears, He will respond to. So the prayers that I need to pray in order to get God or allow God to be able to hear my prayer are prayers that are in line with His will. If I will pray in line with the will of God, then God will hear my prayer and He will answer my prayer. Now that's good news right there. But it still leaves a question mark. The question is then, how do I pray prayers that are in line with the will of God? It's really very simple. All right, how many of you want to know? Come back next week and I'll tell you. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so God wants to guarantee that we get the answers to our prayers. So His guarantee is this: that if we will pray in line with the will of God, He will hear our prayers and He will answer. So here we go. Write this down. God hears the prayers we pray according to the will of God. So when you and I pray the will of God, God hears those prayers and He answers them. Now, how do I know how to pray according to the will of God? Well, the main and primary way that you're going to know how to pray according to the will of God is to pray the Word of God. And this is, I know this sounds elementary. I know we've all heard this before, but we need to drive it home because some of us are still praying prayers that heaven is not able to respond to. I'm after a church that knows how to pray and can move heaven and earth together so that God can accomplish His will, plan, and purpose in the earth. Anybody with me on that? All right. So God says, if you will pray according to my will, and His word and His will are one. They are the same thing. Now, write this down or just make a note of this. God and His Word are one. They are one and the same. You will never be able to separate God from His Word. I'm going to say something else to you. Okay, a little side note. This is free. This won't cost you anything. You and your Word are one. Can I meddle for just a second? All right. If your word is no good, you are no good. Same thing's true for me. That's why Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. See, a lot of times we just rattle on and we say stuff we really don't intend on doing, but people count on us to do stuff that we say we're going to do and we don't do it. And because we fail to follow through on our word, it messes with our character and what our representation is to other people, and therefore we are no good in their eyes. It doesn't mean we're bad, evil people. I'm just saying, if you put your word out there, be the same as your word and follow through with what you say you're going to do. Oh, I didn't. Okay, now's the time for me to come down here. All right. It's going to mess my video up, but I don't care. All right. Because here's what you need to understand. You're only as good as your word. So listen to me. Listen. There's a scripture in Psalm 112 that says that a man that is righteous and is successful in the things of God is the man or woman who will swear to his own hurt and change not. What that means is, if I tell you I'm going to do something, then I'm going to follow through and do it, even if it costs me something. If it's going to hurt me, that doesn't matter. I told you I was going to do it. That's why we need to be careful when we sign loans and notes and stuff like that. Because you know what we did? We promised people we were going to do certain things. And we got to be careful to make sure we follow through on what we say we're going to do. Okay, I can get back up here now. I can tell y'all are just so thrilled about that. Hallelujah. No, the point is this. Learn to let your word and you be one and the same. In other words, your word truly represents who you are and what your character is. Okay, that's why it's so important. Listen, if somebody asks you, well, you going down to the service tonight? Well, yeah, I'm planning on being there. And deep in your heart, you know you ain't going. But here's what we've done, is we've gotten over to where we're afraid to hurt people's feelings and say, no, I'm not going. I would rather you look me in the eye and tell me and be honest with me and say, no, I'm not going to do that, than to say yes and you don't do it. Hallelujah. Sing it, people. Hallelujah. No, I'm just... Okay. God and His Word are one. Here's the thing. If God says it, it's a done deal. It's a wrap. You can take it to the bank. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God and His Word are inseparable. So if you find it in the Word, it is the will of God. We can be assured, write this down, that we are praying in line with God's will when we pray in line with God's word. Now, let me illustrate this for you, or illustrate it however you want to say it, okay? All right, let's say I need healing in my body. Well, the word says Jesus took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses, carried my diseases, and with His stripes I am healed. Right? Okay? I could go into dozens of references to help support that. But the Scripture does teach that. So if it is in the Word that by Jesus' stripes I am healed, then if I go to the Father and I say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I believe Your word that says that Jesus took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses, and by His stripes I am healed. Father, I receive my healing right now. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Now, what you have just done is you have gotten the ear of heaven. Your Heavenly Father has just heard you pray that, and so the power of God has now been released into your physical body to cause healing to manifest. Now stop. Here's where we mess up. We pray a beautiful prayer like that, but then we put on the end of it, if it is Your will, Father, thank You in Jesus' name. Guess what? Heaven just had to put the brakes on. Why? Because you just undid all of your faith in prayer by adding that little tag that doesn't belong there. Are you following me? So what we have to do is we've got to pray in line with the Word of God. I need financial provision in my life. Well, you have to believe that God is a provider. The Scripture's full of the Word that teaches that God is El Shaddai. He is the one who's more than enough. He is a never-ending supply, and He wants to meet your material needs. So what you have to do is you have to pray a prayer that's in line with the Word of God so that heaven can hear your prayer, so God can hear your prayers and respond. And so we pray, Father, thank you as a tither and as a giver. I believe, Father, you said in the Word, but my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I receive every one of my needs met in Jesus' name. When you prayed that prayer, heaven heard and God began to move in order to answer that prayer. All right? Now, write this down, please. It is guaranteed that if we pray God's Word, it is guaranteed, if we pray God's Word, God will hear you and you will receive the answers to your prayers. So we have to put and base our prayer on the Word of God. All right? Now, here's where I gotta just help you a little bit. Now, you cannot pray beyond what you do not believe in the Word of God. Okay? So what we have to do is we've got to do something. We have a part to play. It's so important that we understand in our spiritual lives that God has a part to play and we have a part to play. What is our part? Our part is to take some time in God's Word so that we're familiar and we know what to base our prayers on. You're going to have to write this down, please. Sometimes you need to spend time with the Scriptures that cover what you're believing for. Okay? Spend some time in the Word of God. Now, some of you don't know the struggle. I'm old enough, I know the struggle. Somebody said, what struggle are you talking about? I'm talking about the struggle that if I wanted to know what the Bible said about something, I had about 6 books that altogether probably weighed more than I do, and I'd have to drag them out, put them on my desk, open them up, and spend time going through finding out what the book says about a particular subject. So if I'm facing a situation in my life, you know, I've got a family situation or relationship issues, whatever the case is, back in the day, you'd have to spend a lot of time researching and finding out what does God's Word say about that situation. Thank the Lord Jesus for technology. Brother Google can help you out a whole lot. Okay? Now you have to look at your sources. I'm being somewhat tongue-in-cheek when I say that, but there are tons of resources online that all you'd have to do is put in scriptures on healing, and boom, you've got lists of scriptures about healing. You can search scriptures on financial blessing. Boom, lots of scriptures on that. I mean, and the list goes on and on and on. So thank God we are in a time in technology in these days where you can very easily find scriptures that you need to base your prayers on. And so what you're going to have to do is find those scriptures. Now, finding the scriptures is not enough. Okay? Listen to me very carefully. What we have thought is that if I stop by the Next Steps table and I pick up the Healing Scriptures list and I read through them one time, then I have faith to receive healing. Okay? That's not the case. You have to spend time with it. Now listen to me carefully. You have to get those scriptures down in your heart. It's got to get from here to here. Faith is of the heart, not the head. So the Word has to go from something, information that I know here, to revelation that I have in my heart. Okay, that's so important, so important. That's why, let me show you a scripture in the Old Testament. In Joshua chapter 1, in the Bible in basic English, in verse 8, you know the scripture probably from the King James, but the scripture says, let this book of the law, let this book of the Word of God be ever on your lips and in your thoughts day and night, so that you may keep with care everything in it, then a blessing will be on all your way and you will do well. Notice what the Lord told Joshua. And if you have a chance, study the circumstances that Joshua was facing. He told him, put the word before you and in your mouth day and night. Night and day. Somebody says, I have to work. God knows that. Okay? But what you might have to do, and I'm talking to myself when I say this, what you might have to do is turn off the TV for a minute. I'm going to a different church. And spend some time in God's Word going over it and over it and over it and over it. I'm going to tell you, just telling myself a little bit, when I, you know, I've been at this now for going on 43 years, and it took me several years going over scriptures. Now, I'm not saying that I never received during that time frame, but healing had to become a revelation to me, and healing is something that is a part of my life now as much as salvation is a part of my life. In other words, I have spent enough time with the Word of God that it went from here and dropped down to my heart, and it's in my heart now. And so you cannot talk me out of it. Circumstances can't talk me out of it. Pain in my body can't talk me out of it. Nobody can talk me out of it. Because what I have done is I've allowed it to become something that was not just knowledge, it's heart revelation now. And what that means is you're going to have to spend some time with it. Now, Pastor, I just didn't know it took all that. Well, sweetheart, how bad do you want it? I mean, that's really what it's all about. It's not that God's trying to hold it from you, but there are just some things that you're going to have to spend some time with. That's why I'm telling you to start your year this way. Go to, I mean, just as a blank slate, go to the Word. Find out what the Word says about your year. And you can take scriptures and map out your year now and spend time with it to where it gets out of just your head and becomes part of your heart. And listen, there won't be anybody that can talk you out of it. When you get a vision for your life and start believing God, that God can do things like Ephesians 3:20 says, above and beyond all I could dare, ask, dream, or hope in every area of my life. When you get that down in your heart, look out. Because nobody will be able to take that from you. And so you've got to spend time with it. Look at what John 15:7 says in the Message Bible. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. Now, let me help you understand this verse just a little bit. I'm almost done. Just hang in there with me. When I go and visit relatives, you know, as many of you know, I go to Florida and check on my grandmother and other relatives and things like that. When I'm down there, they make me feel at home. I mean, I can do anything I want to. I have access to anything, you know, whatever. But that is not my home. Charlotte is my home. I have a home here. Now, even though I feel like they make me a home and it comfortable there, I still have a home here that is where I belong. Okay? A lot of us, with the Word of God, we visit occasionally. The Word makes us feel at home, but the Word is not really at home in us. Is that too hard? It's the truth. And so what we've got to do is we've got to stay with the Word. Jesus said, if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you. Notice that he didn't say, I'll do it for you. He said, if you make yourself at home with me, and my words at home in you. How do you do that? You got to spend some quality time with it. Now, I want to wrap this up, and I want to give you one last tidbit, and then we'll be done. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 21, talking about Abraham and his faith and believing God for the promise of Isaac to take place. It says this, that he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That's a whole different message right there. But here's what I want to get to. Verse 21, and being fully convinced. Turn to somebody and say, you need to be convinced. So Abraham got fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who convinced Abraham? Abraham did. God doesn't do the convincing. You are going to have to do the convincing. See, Abraham spent so much time with that promise that I'm a father of many nations. Matter of fact, God did him a favor and changed his name, put God's middle initial in the middle of Abraham's name so that it became where that God will make you a father of many nations. So every time somebody called his name, they were convincing him. He was convincing him. You're going to have to spend enough time with God's word until you get convinced. Now, I love the fact that you come to church. I love you being in church, but I can never convince you in an hour on Sunday. It's going to take some extracurricular time and activity on our part. So here's the last thing I want you to write down. Spend time with God's word about your life and whatever the situation is until you become fully convinced. Now, here's why. When you're fully convinced, there's no longer any question marks. Hey, listen to me carefully. I know, are you still writing? I'll give you a second to write down. Okay, time's up. All right. Here you go. Listen to me. Your belief, your faith in God will never go beyond the first question mark. So wherever the question mark is in your belief of God's word, your faith, your prayers will never go any further than that question mark. So what you're going to have to do is stay with the word long enough to get rid of the question marks. There can't be any question marks like, will God do this? Is God able to do this? Why won't he do this for me? You got to get rid of all those question marks because your faith will never go beyond the first question mark. And I don't know about you, but I'm after praying prayers that God hears and he is able to respond to. Anybody in the room with me? Amen. Amen. Are you glad you came to church today? Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the word that we've heard today. Father, I thank you that it's fallen on good ground, the people of Spring Hill Church, and that, Father, it will produce fruit in each and every one of our lives. Father, I thank you that you're ministering to us and helping us, Lord, to understand how to receive answers to our prayers, to pray prayers that are in line with your will, plan, and purpose for our lives. And, Father, I thank you that you desire to answer every single one of them, that you are a God who loves us, who cares about us. And as we sang earlier, Father, you are such a good, good Father that desires to show yourself strong on the behalf of your children. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I pray for every person, Father, under the sound of my voice that might be facing a need, that is dealing with maybe pain or sickness in their body. We thank you, Father, for healing today. Father, I thank you for supernatural protection, provision, Father, in every area of their lives. And Lord, we believe you and thank you again, that we believe 2020 is going to be an awesome year, Father, and we're going to see victory after victory after victory in every area of our lives, because we're learning how to commune with you and to fellowship with you and to be intimate with our Heavenly Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let me just ask a couple of quick questions before we go today. I never like to dismiss a service without giving you an opportunity. If you're here today and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to invite you to do that. It's the best decision that you could ever make in your life, is to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in your heart that He paid the price for you, that He died a horrible death, that He was buried and dead, but on the third day He was raised up, and now He is Lord, seated at the right hand of the Father. Now listen, finding or entering into a relationship with the Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ is not about finding religion or joining a church. It's about you simply opening your heart to receive what Jesus did for each and every one of us. You might be here today and you've prayed that prayer, you've made that decision, but your heart has grown cold towards the things of God, and you know you're not serving the Lord like you need to and want to. I want to invite you to turn your heart back towards home. The good news is God's not mad at any of us. He loves us dearly. Matter of fact, He's madly in love with each and every one of us. And the good news is this: Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 15, He said that if we would turn our hearts back towards home, that the Father would run towards us. And so I just want to encourage you today, if you need to come back home, why not let today be the day? If you need to give your heart to Christ for the first time, why not let today be the day that you make that decision? I want to invite you to do something. I want the privilege of being able to pray with you today, and not again going to embarrass you or humiliate you, call you out in front of the church or anything like that. I'm going to invite you to simply make Jesus the Lord of your life. So if you desire prayer, if you want me to pray with you today, I'll need you to take a simple step of faith and just raise your hand. And by doing that, you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to recommit my life to the Lord. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Church, if you believe in what we're doing, pray this prayer with me and say it so loud you can hear your own self pray it. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe with all my heart that you died for me. I believe with all my heart that you were raised from the dead. Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. Give me a brand new start. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit to the full and overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Church, come on, let's celebrate for just a second. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.